The Northern Coromandel Peninsula is just 60 kilometres from downtown Auckland as the crow flies. However, few roads are sealed. The hills are still bush-clad and some services have been very slow to reach it. Very few people call it home. Colville farmer Les Ward is one of them. His grandfather arrived in the area in the late 1890s, wanting a better life, and the peninsula is still dotted with his descendants. Les told me conditions were pretty grim in England when his grandfather left, but he and his grandmother wouldn't have known what they were coming to.
I'm sure they probably didn't, because it was very tough when they got here.
What was the landscape like then?
Oh, it was pretty much totally bush. Right down to the water, which they cleared. It was all manual axes, and there was no power machinery at all in those days.
Very early on, Les's grandfather farmed a few sheep and cattle.
They sold firewood. The Manuka and Kānuka they were clearing was ideal firewood for the Auckland market, so they cashed in a bit on that.
There were seven brothers?
Yes, in my father's family.
Were there girls?
One girl. They all started up the coast here. And most of them ended up being on the farming side of it. One of them went fishing up the Bay of Islands. Another one ran a scow from Auckland, serving the coastline around the peninsula.
Do you know what sort of things he carted?
Oh, all sorts. Timber, granite, livestock. Mm. I remember when I was really young, mother and father, they'd order the stores from the Farmers Trading Company in Auckland, and they'd come across. We'd go along to the wharf, pick up drums of kerosene and all the other stores, bulk flour and sugar and all those sort of things.
Les and his twin brother went to the local school and then to Auckland for high school. They left as soon as they could.
Didn't like the place. Neither my brother or I, we couldn't stand it. Came back here because I just wanted to carry on the land here. Didn't like the city. Never have done.
What about your mum? Where did she come from?
She came from Gisborne initially. But unfortunately, her first husband got killed during the Second World War. And when my father came back from 1945, he came back and he worked in Auckland until he found someone to marry. And he happened to find my mother. She had lost her husband and had two daughters. And somehow he coaxed her to come to Colville.
She wasn't very impressed when she arrived.
It was very isolated, no services, no power. Very limited, everything.
It's probably a good thing that he stayed in Auckland until he found a partner, because the population must have been quite low.
That's right. That did right. She adapted very well once she got here and settled. She got into things like women's division and those rural ladies' groups, but she couldn't drive for years. And she was probably 40 or 45 before she got a licence to drive and had a vehicle to drive.
Living without electricity. That must have been...
Yes, now that was the hardest part, I think. Having a range to cook on. Kerosene fridge. The old man had a little lighting plant just for our lights at night. He'd put a bit of petrol in the thing, and when the petrol ran out, the lights went out. That was about me, Tom. But the meat was mostly mutton. Could you kill a sheep, you could pretty well handle that. But you couldn't kill a beast. There's no way of keeping it. It just didn't happen. The kerosene fridge was the biggest problem because it used to go out and you had to fiddle with it all the time, fiddle with the wick to keep it burning right.
What years are we talking here? We're talking the 50s?
Yes, 50s and early 60s.
When did you get electricity?
I think it was around 68, the mains power came in here. And that was the greatest thing because we got a deep freeze and we got a fridge.
That was 80 years after electricity flowed in Reefton, the first New Zealand town to have a public power supply. When Les was a child, the family's main income came from their 45 dairy cows.
We home separated the milk. The cream went out initially to Pyro, and we fed pigs on the whey or the skim. But then the Pyro factory shut down. And the last place the cream went to was Tuakau. When they didn't want it anymore, we had to sell the milking cows. About 1985, and we went to dry stock.
Well, that would have been quite a change, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, it was quite good, actually. We didn't have to get up so early.
Pine trees provided another income stream.
The old man had started planting trees in 1947, pine trees.
Gosh, what made him do that?
He valued the use of all the land, using all the land. And there was terrible erosion problem here with these back hills, steep hills. So there was a guy over the other side, on the eastern side of the peninsula, started planting pine trees. And somehow my father heard about this, and then they decided they were going to plant the back steep hills here. So he started in 1947.
In the scheme of things, was that pretty early for pine tree
Yes.
plantations in New Zealand?
They were planting pine trees down the middle of the North Island before that, but for up here, that everybody thought he was cracked. But anyway, when we left school, we had all these 20-year-old pine trees ready for thinning, and there wasn't any posts available, fence posts. So we started cutting these posts and treating them with creosote on the property here and selling them to the neighbours.
Les and his brother started a mill, and they've been milling timber, treating it and selling it for 50 years. They also set up a piggery, buying in neighbours' milk, and between the timber business and the piggery, they're able to save enough money to buy two nearby farms. There are a few properties with better land in the district, but Les says generally it's hard country.
There's not very much fattening goes on up here. It's not too bad for breeding cattle, but to finish a cattle up here, the grass isn't good enough. So I sell my weaners, and people come and buy them, take them away or do what they like.
Cattle from farms further up the peninsula used to be driven to sales, sometimes as far away as Thames, but now carting them out is a job for experienced truck drivers.
The trucking from right up the top can be hazardous.
Well, the road really only has, it's only wide enough for a car.
It's all gravel and very narrow and steep. And the trucking firm that does all the regular driving up here, they send up drivers that know the road, done it all before dozens of times. They very rarely send a new driver up here. My nephew, right up the top, he quite often drives in front of the truck just to warn oncoming vehicles, because the road is just not wide enough to pass a truck and trailer in most of the places.
Because the land is quite poor up here for feeding stock, can the farmers make a dollar out of it?
It's getting harder, and we're losing farms. We're losing farm after farm up here. The original farmers are getting old and dying off, and the younger generation just don't want to do it. So the farms are getting cut up and sold. And we're getting less and less farms, operational farms, up here all the time. Dramatically so.
Do you have to put a lot of fertiliser on?
I don't personally. Only because I haven't got anybody to carry on when I've finished here. And I can't see a lot of sense in putting a lot of money back into it, knowing that later on this is probably have to be sold. I just haven't got a family member that's willing or able to continue what I've been doing.
And what about your mum? Did she stay here right to the end, or did she
She actually moved to Thames. I think her heart was always here.
What about your dad?
He unfortunately had a heart attack and dropped dead doing his normal day's work. But he never wanted to go anywhere. He lived his whole life here, and he was happy here with his brothers. I think they enjoyed themselves up here. They didn't want to go to the city or do anything rather than what they were doing. And the next generation, like ourselves and my cousins, they're just following on what their fathers did. But anyway, it hasn't worked out too bad. It's been a pretty useful sort of a life.
Les Ward from Colville. Les says the reason their sawmill has survived and lots haven't is that they're milling their own trees and treating the timber on site, so the timber doesn't have to be transported. He says it also helps that it's a family business with family on the payroll. And Les also makes beautiful, fine furniture. He says he loves working with wood, whether it's crafting a dining suite or chopping firewood.